We have a Father's Day message this morning. And I'm excited about some special parts of this message. I was thinking last night, and all of a sudden this came to me, this one little thing. Another thing came to me. So we'll be sticking, they're not little, they're little phrases, but I think they have a key importance. You know, today is Father's Day, and we honor our fathers today. You know, fathers should be honored every day. We're commanded to honor our fathers and our mothers in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Every child of God has two fathers, an earthly father and a heavenly father. Next week, the message is going to be almost entirely about our heavenly father. But as earthly fathers, we have many responsibilities. First of all, is to show love to God, to our spouses, and to our children. Secondly, to instruct our children in the Lord. And third, to be a Christ-like example to follow. The first responsibility of a father is to focus his love on God. Then and only then is he able to have a loving relationship with his spouse and children. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and with all your strength. The first commandment that Jesus gives us and gives to everyone is to love him with our complete heart, our complete soul, and our complete mind, and our complete being, rather. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We need to know God before we need to know him. That's how it is. We need to know him before we can love him. And in 1 John 4, 8, it says, the one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. The one that does not love does not know God. For God is love. We need to know God before we can love. That's what the scripture tells us. Before any father can love their spouse, their children, they must love God. That's what it says in the reading today in the gospel. We need to put God first. Because God is love. It is God's love that turns a father's love back to their children. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it says, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. An earthly father who does not love God loves himself and does not know how to love others. How can you love others if you do not love God? Because God is love. It is so important that every father believes and loves Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, so they can love their spouse and love their children. When a father loves the Lord, he can prepare his children to love the Lord also. The second responsibility here is for a father to instruct his children. In Ephesians 6, 4, it says, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's a grave responsibility we fathers have to teach our children about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is our duty as fathers to instruct our children to know God. We're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. We're going to stop partway through it, and you'll see why. It says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." What do you do with all your might? I want you to think about it. What have you ever done with all your might? You know, this morning, what came to my mind is a tug of war. I don't know if I ever participated in a tug of war, but you can see it. Maybe I have. Where two people get on a line and they just pull and pull as far as they can. They're pulling as hard as they can to win that little contest or whatever it might be. That tug of war. They're pulling with all their strength. They're pulling with all their might. What other things do you do with all your might? What does the Word of God say? Remember I read Mark 12:30 to you? Where it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And here it says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Would life be different if we loved our God, our Lord, with all our might? Oh, I believe it would be. It would be as Scripture tells us. We would put Him first and foremost in everything we do. But that's what it says. We're to love Him with all of our might. I want you to think about that today. And as the Holy Spirit brings it back to you. This verse really applies to everyone, but it does apply to fathers especially. Because then it goes on and says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." They shall be on our heart. "And you shall teach them diligently to your sons," which means children, "and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So we are to be talking to our children. That's what these verses are saying to fathers. That there is nothing more important than speaking of God to our children and instructing them of God. Well, the first thing, of course, is having a love for Him and then speaking to them. Because when we go to teach them, it will be something that comes from us. Well, I'm sure they'll react differently when we're knowing that when their children know that what we're doing is with the love of God. We are told to continually to teach our children of God. When we are sitting in our homes, when we're walking, when we're lying down, and when we're getting up. The first thing on our mind should be instructing our children about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that precious? And I thought about this a little bit. You know, a while back, somebody in my old church says, you know, not many pastors talk about the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's true. They might talk about God the Father and Jesus Christ, but not many talk about the Holy Spirit. It's God the Holy Spirit. We need to talk to Him about all three. The three are one. And she said to me, she says, "One of the things you did is you brought up the Holy Spirit. And you talk about Him." It's so very important that we teach our children about God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit today is the one that convicts us of sin when we do something wrong. The Holy Spirit today is one that reveals the Word of God to us so we can understand what it says. And I'm sure when we love the Lord our God with all our might, we'll want to know what He has to say to us. Why is it so important for fathers to teach their children about God? Because their very eternal life depends upon it. Depends on them knowing and believing and loving Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Their eternal life depends on it. It is best for us to train our children up in the Lord and when they're early in their lives. It says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go when he's a child in the way he should go when he's young, so he's old, he will not depart from it. All too often, fathers can spend their time doing things, other things with their children, rather than teaching them about God. And I thought about that as I wrote that down. I thought to myself, you know what happened in churches before, as the churches started initially? It was the parents that would teach them the catechism, not the churches. But the parents didn't want that done, so it went to the churches. And that's when confirmation started and teaching and so forth. Because the parents weren't doing that. The third responsibility of a father is to be a Christ-like leader. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel, and I exhort you therefore be imitators of me. Paul is saying, I became your father. Imitate me. He is the example. Are we being an example to our children of Christian leadership? Pretty humbling, isn't it? Are we passing that on to someone else and hoping someone else does it? Fathers have so much responsibility in this text. I've given them a lot of responsibility. To love God, to love their spouse, to love their children, to instruct their children, and to be a Christ-like example. And I'm sure that we fathers can see that we fall short at times of being the example that God wants us to be. But when we fall short, we can pray for our children, praying that the Holy Spirit will help our children to grow in His grace, His knowledge, His wisdom, and His understanding. I want you to know there is nothing more powerful than prayer. Every father can take and pray for their children. God hears that prayer, and God loves it when we come to Him in need and pray. We're dependent upon Him, and He answers those prayers. Yes, we fathers should be praying for our children every day, and especially as the Holy Spirit leads us. And we should pray expectantly, knowing that God's going to hear us and answer us. We should never bring a prayer to God if we don't believe He's going to hear us and answer us. I don't want any of you ever to pray if you think you're not going to be heard. We pray because we know we have an almighty, all-powerful God, the creator of this universe, that hears us, that loves us with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Well, we'll go into this much more in depth next week. But when we pray to Him for our children, or whatever the case might be, we pray because we know that God loves us and hears us, and He's going to answer us. That's why we should all be praying. We need to lead our children to the Heavenly Father. And on this special day when we honor our parents, our fathers, we should not forget to honor our Heavenly Father. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, it says this. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We should submit ourselves to God and live. I thought of this in James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission to God means we believe in Jesus Christ. First and foremost. Jesus said we should do the work of the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 29, he says, the work of the Father is this, that you believe in him whom he sent. God wants us first and foremost to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's why we have that powerful verse in John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God wants us to do first and foremost, is to believe in Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus, we have eternal life and peace with God. Then as Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus by faith, he gives us peace with God. And then Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says, in the way of the righteousness is life, and its pathway there is no death. It is so important that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and our children do also, and that we pray for them. There is nothing more important than for us fathers to spend our time loving our wives and our children. By teaching them of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? First, ourselves, by loving Jesus Christ and God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, with all of our might, with all of our strength. That is of first importance. You know, I read this wonderful book, and I have one little sentence of it. I mean, it's a good book, but it's got so much repetition in it, and it's really good. But it had one sentence in it, and I want to bring that up today because I'm talking about how important salvation is. Here's what it says. It says, death is only a comma in the story of our lives. Have you thought of that? If you wrote a story about your life, your whole life, anybody's life, death would only be a comma. It's so very true. How is that true? Because we are all made to live forever. Every one of us is made to last forever. The question is where will our forever be? Everyone is born with a destination in mind, and that is hell. Everyone is born with a reservation for hell. The only thing that can change that is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and then you add to it your Master in God. When you believe in that, you change your reservation from hell to heaven. And you have a home in heaven reserved for you, which will not fade or rust away. God has a plan of salvation for everyone. But you know what's first in that plan? It's for us to realize we sin and that we need a Savior. One of the things that I've read, and it's so very important, I need to convey, is the more we realize that we are sinners, the more we will realize how important God is and Jesus Christ is. The more we will realize we need a Savior. You know what? Many people today do not believe in hell because they do not believe they're a sinner. They do not believe they need a Savior. Well, it says in Romans chapter 6, or chapter 3, verse 23, "For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God." And chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There's none righteous, no, not even one." And in Romans 6, 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God the Father, Almighty God, the creator of everything, loves us. He loves us. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The next part of God's plan of salvation is that we need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to know how important it is so that we can bring it on to our children and our grandchildren and everybody else we know. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you believe in Jesus, you will never die. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, you might die physically, by the way, but not spiritually. You will live forever in eternity. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." We have a home in heaven reserved for us that does not fade away or rust. It's undefiled. We cannot even come close to understanding what God's got prepared for us. We need to love him with all of our might and with all of our strength. And as we do, we will not be ashamed to share him with others. Today is Father's Day, and it's very important today. You give your fathers a hug. There's not too many kids here, is there? Well, you give your grandfather a hug today, Taylor and Jordan. And if Abby was here, I'd say the same thing. Every child today should be giving their fathers. Well, Kathy, should be giving your father today a hug. But not just today, but every day. You know, it's something I want to read. Oh, I had this. I was going to share this with a counselor, but I'll just read it right now to you. It fits. My daughter, who's a physician's assistant, I think since I got this last cancer, it just seems like it's repetitive. But anyway, whenever there's a holiday or anything, you know, she'll send me a card. She'll say this. "I am so thankful to spend another Father's Day celebrating you. When it's Christmas, I'm so thankful that you can be here for Christmas. I'm so thankful that you can be, whatever the day might be, that we can celebrate your birthday." And the reason is, she knows how precious life is. And I think she knows how precious my life is more than I do. Because that's in everything. And so what I'm saying to you today, life is precious. So you make sure that you appreciate those people around you today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word, which tells us to love you, not only with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, but with all of our might and all of our strength. Father, I do pray in Jesus' precious holy name that the Holy Spirit will help us to grow, to love you with all of our might and strength. I pray that prayer for each one here today and those who are not here, that they will come to love you in that way. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to love our spouses that you have given to us, and our children which you have given to us. And we pray, God, that you would help us to instruct them about you and to help us to be a Christian, Christ-like example to others. We ask, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that the Holy Spirit will help us to do this. And we thank you, God, for this day you've given to us, that we can rejoice and be glad. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.